السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We just started discussing these few things that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh took into consideration when he appointed his governors. So the one point was that he didn't make any of his relatives his governors. So I explained to you that it's not impermissible, but at that time he felt that it would be better if he doesn't appoint his family members. So at one stage, one of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum heard him complaining about a problem with the people of Kufa and their governor. Umar radiallahu anhu made a statement. He said, if only I can find a strong, trustworthy Muslim man to make governor over them. So this person responded to him and he said, by Allah, I will tell you of one such man, and that is Abdullah bin Umar, meaning your son, Abdullah bin Umar. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, قاتلك الله, may Allah kill you. As I explained, that this word قاتلك الله, it doesn't literally mean now may Allah kill you, but in Arab, how can you say a thing like that? By Allah, you did not say that for the sake of Allah. And he used to say that whoever makes a governor a man because of friendship or blood ties and for no other reason, then he has betrayed Allah Ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other point was that he didn't appoint anybody who asked for the position. So this too, as we said, is in keeping with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a person asked for the position, it wasn't granted. However, once I was traveling in India, we were traveling, about 6-7 of us. I was the youngest in the group, must have been about 14-15 years old at the time. And it was Ramadan Sharif. And it so happened that we were delayed, so we didn't make it back to Jalalabad by Maghrib. So we stopped in one khet. And they said, no, we'll wait for the cannon. They shoot a cannon, and most of the villages at time of iftar, they shoot a cannon, so you know, because people didn't have watches. Watches wasn't in vogue. No, communication to let you know that it's time to break your fast. It's an ajeeb thing. In Jalalabad, Sehri time, one person he'll ride a bicycle and go through the gadis, you know. You knock, 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 everybody, you know, Sehri time, now wake up. Then when there's few minutes left, he'll do that again. So you must know now, couple minutes left. And then when the time is up, they shoot a cannon. So everybody knows now, time is up. Then iftar time also, they shoot a cannon. So you know it's iftar time. So people who are living far out in the khet, whatever, they can hear and they know they must break their roza. So we were waiting now for that cannon. So then that we heard the sound. So we broke our roza. And that too, we thought we were going to make it back to Jalalabad. So we didn't have anything. So they bought some chana and one, two things from one, two vendors there. And we broke fast on that. So now it came for Maghrib Salah. So Mufti Hashim Boda Sahib was with. So when it came for namaz, so he immediately said, I'll perform namaz. Now he was the only alim there. All the rest were all non-ulama. So he went forward and he said, I'll perform the namaz. So that's a different situation when there is nobody else that has got the capability and you fear that if somebody else is going to take this post, then they would make khianat in this post, or they won't understand how to manage it. And then if you say that, no, appoint me to it. But you're not saying appoint me out of hirs or greed or pride or anything like that. Like Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, when eventually now the whole incident, when the king now sent for him, then he told the king that appoint me over it. Because now he had a plan in his mind, and he probably knew that when it comes to a situation like this, now you'll get a lot of corruption, because everybody is desperate, everybody needs the grain, and now if you got the wrong person there, right, then the whole plan won't work out. So he said, no, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض, appoint me over the treasures of the earth. In other words, now whatever this grain, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم. So in other words, he will protect it, and also he's got the knowledge, the know-how of how to do it. With that, something else we learn, right, is that if we don't have the know-how for something, even if that post is given to us, we must turn it down. Don't accept a post just for the sake of accepting a post. If we don't have the know-how, we don't know something. Now it can be big things, and it can be day-to-day things also. If you don't know something, you say, I don't know. You can learn it. If somebody can teach me, then once I learn it, I can do it. Now these are all Islahi points. From, I always mention that when we study these biographies, one is to just read it like a storybook, and the other is to bring the lessons into our lives. That how do we now bring this into our life? So for example, if a person, he doesn't know how to slaughter a bull. He never slaughtered a bull in his life. He doesn't know how to slaughter the bull. So he mustn't jump and take the knife. He should first start with the sheep, get used to the concept, see how it, then observe how somebody is doing it. Then after that, when he feels confident and he feels, okay, I can take this thing on. Now, sometime you get a young person, he bought one bull, Allah has given him the wealth, now he wants to slaughter that thing. Now for nothing you cause pain to the animal also, and sometime you cause injury. Sometime injuries take place. People don't know how to handle these big animals. Just now Qurbani is coming. Every year Qurbani now. And today, not long ago, one lady, she decided to go in one masjid, Jummah time, in Durban. So now, one is she went away in the masjid. Right, which is a wrong thing. So quietly, they should have got rid of her, taken her out of the masjid, and finished. The story is over. Right. But you see now, the publicity that this batil wanted, they got. Why? Because everybody take out their phones. Everybody starts videoing. This phone has become such a sickness. Sometime, somebody is being harmed. Instead of going to help, no, you take out the phone to video. There's an accident, people are injured. Instead of going to their assistance, no, we're videoing. Life has become about just making a video. No, I was there, I got the first thing, It's become like that. So here also that lady now, now so many people in the masjid, now they're all videoing. Now those videos now went viral. Now the whole country and maybe half the world came to know that one lady went away in the masjid. Whereas if it was just kept quiet, nobody would even known. Only those musallis there would have known what happened. She wouldn't have got the publicity she was looking for, and the story would have been closed, over. So Qurbani time, the same thing happens, that people take out their phones now and start videoing. And I always mention this thing, that see, you are taking something's life. That thing got a life. Right? A person plants a tree. A person plants a tree. And it's a fruit tree. And creatures eat from it. Birds eat from it. Monkeys eat from it. He gets sawab. He gets reward. Whatever he eats from it. Sometimes the gardener, he gets disheartened and he's watching that one. That one is, no, nothing. Just leave it for 2 more days, I'll leave it. The students here, they planted some pumpkin, you know. So there was one pumpkin was growing quite nicely. That thing was getting nice and big. So they said, no, just leave it 1-2 more days and we take it out. So the monkeys got hold of it. Kaam tamam kar diya. So they were so disheartened, you know. So about half that pumpkin was eaten and few other pumpkins there that were growing. Now one bite here, one monkeys. The monkeys, what they know about how to eat and all that. So they were so disheartened. King brought that pumpkin. Oh, see what the monkeys did here now. They were watching the thing grow. Now they were so, this thing, they were so, I said, no, don't worry. What, sawab is in the bag. Even if a monkey ate it too, you got sawab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zu kabid. There is ajar for every zu kabid. Anything with the life, you get sawab. Anything with the life, there is reward, there is sawab. What I'm trying to explain is that you got to respect life. That's why when it comes to our slaughter also, there's so much of etiquette. It's not just you just slaughter anyhow. There's so much of etiquette because you're taking something's life. So you must do it with the least amount of pain as swiftly as possible. Right? And at the end of the day, it's our food. Right? Allah Ta'ala has made it our food. That's the only reason now you're taking the life. You don't just go around just killing animals for fun. You will take the thing's life because Allah has made it our risk, made it our food. Qurbani time, Allah has made it obligation that we have to slaughter these animals. Right? But now, you're taking a life and you're making a show out of it. Where is our heart? That animal is dying, its neck, its throat is being cut, it's kicking, whatever, and we are busy now videoing and filming that thing, making a show out of it. So what we were explaining is that if we don't know how to do something, then don't do it. Sometime maybe you're traveling, and you're traveling in a kumbi. It's a kumbi. Now, so who's going to drive? You're in Jamaat, whatever. Who's going to drive? Now you got a kumbi, and plus you're putting one trailer. And you are a person now, the only thing you drove in your life is one Picanto. You never drove anything bigger than that. So then why take the chance? It's not yours. It's amanat. People, saman is in the, what you call, in the trailer. Why take the chance? You never drove a big vehicle. Leave it. Don't take the chance. So anything like that in life, if you don't have the know-how, don't just jump. Yes, learn it first. Learn it, get some experience, and then no problem. After that, you can do it. The other thing that we discussed here was that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he prevented his governors from involving themselves in any type of business. Right? So one was, it will create khalal in their work. Now if they have to get so absorbed in business, it will cause khalal in their work. The other thing is that they have an undue advantage over the people. People will buy from them just because they are the governors. So he prevented them from business. So there was one incident that was mentioned of Harith bin Ka'ab bin Wahab. Umar radiallahu anhu had appointed him as a governor, and then Umar radiallahu anhu noticed that this person now, if you have to work out how much he's getting, his stipend and his lifestyle, it doesn't tally. So then he asked him, so what's happening? See how he kept such a close eye. So Harith explained to him that so I had some money, so I invested it in some business. So Umar Ram said, we didn't send you to make yourself busy in business. You were sent there to be a governor, not to make yourself busy in business. And then he took the profits away from him. Right? So we sometime may not be able to relate to it. He said, the man is doing something on the side now, what's the problem? But put yourself in a situation that a person is working for you. You employ the person in your business, and in your business time now, where he's supposed to be working for you, he's conducting his own business. Now you are not going to accept that. You won't accept it. Right? So same like that, a person who is serving deen also, so the time that he is serving deen, he is being remunerated, is getting a remuneration for it, right? So he can't be now taking his personal calls, business calls, customer is phoning him and all that in that time. That would be a khiyanat. It's incorrect. He can't do that. Today, another sickness, and the sickness comes about because of us, right? You phone a company, curtain company, blind company, flooring company, whatever company, you phone, you got a job, right? So the company now, they are a big company, they are advertising, whatever, that's how you came to know about this thing. So you phone, so they will send a salesman out to you, right? They'll send a salesman out to you, so salesman will give you a quotation and everything, and then quietly he'll tell you, I do weekend jobs also. I do weekend job. The company is charging you this much. So what you can do, you can source the material. I'll show you where to get it from. I can do it for you. I'll charge you this much. Right? So we get very happy. When we on the profiting end, we're very happy. Right? Now we'll see, hey, look at this company, how much they're hitting us, man? How much they're hitting us? This man can do it for this price, so what profit these people are making? But we're not taking into consideration that company, they're paying rent, they got telephone, they got motor cars, all the expenses to run that company. This fellow here now, he's on the company's strength, he's pirating the company. So if he just makes a few rands, over and above that, he's still getting paid by the company. He just makes a few rands here. He's happy. But he's pirating the company. So that time, hey, I hit a luck, man. No, that fellow came, he'll do it for me for this price. But turn the tables now. Turn the tables. If it's your company and your salesman or your fitter went and did that, now you'll fire him. You'll fire him. You won't keep him. So it must work both ways then. It must work both ways. When that person makes that kind of offer, immediately we should tell him, but this is wrong what you are doing. This is wrong what you are doing. Yeah, if you didn't phone the company, that man is free on Saturday and Sunday, and he does odd jobs. He drives around in his bucky and comes by your door. But you know what? I'm a tailor, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. Do you have any odd jobs for me? And you gave him a job like that. That's a different difference. Provided he's not using the company's bucky, he's not using the company's tools, he's not using anything of the company. That's different. But here now you phone the company and then you pirating now. You promoting this piracy. So this is wrong. It's totally, totally incorrect. Right? Umar radiallahu anh used to record the net worth of his governors before they were given any post. We thought SARS is... He used to record the net worth. Then, if after governorship, there's any increase, now you call them to book. must account for it. How come your wealth increased? Now, if it increased because the person inherited some wealth, some virasat came, or even in jihad, some money, so he must be able to account for it. It mustn't be that he is profiting because he's a governor. Right? Some of them tried to justify their increased means by engaging in business, but he never accepted that. So business, not allowed. You mean the prophets put in the Baitul Mal. You were sent there to be a governor, not to go and engage in business. You see, the other thing with business, in business, you always have disputes. No matter how clean you try to keep your business, you must end up in some dispute. Now, if people are going to start having dispute with the governor, are they going to respect him as a governor? A lot of places you find this, the imam of a masjid, and he's engaging in some business, right? Now, there's some dispute between him and one musalli or something. I never read namaz behind him. I'll never read that he's a chore. Whereas maybe he's not a chore also. But that person will accuse him, right? So I'll never read namaz behind him. You get all these problems coming about when the person starts engaging in business. So I remember when I used to be teaching for a short while in the mornings in one Islamic school. That's why when people talk about the Islamic school, so I got first-hand experience, so not this hearsay when I talk about the ills in the Islamic school. Yes, there are some benefits too, but there's also harms. So I used to teach in the Islamic school in the morning, and in the afternoon I was teaching in the maktab, in Masjid al-Taqwa, and making imamate. So now I wanted to go to study. So the madrasa that started off here in Marisburg, Maulana Mansur al-Haq Sahib started one Darul Uloom. So it was in the morning hours, from 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock or something like that. So I said, okay, the only thing I have to do is leave this morning job now, this school, and I carry on in the maktab bin. So I went to one elderly businessman. He deals in motor cars. So I went to him and I told him, see, I want you to take my motor car and make it into two. In other words, take this expensive car now, give me two cheap cars. So you see, what you going to do with two cheap cars? Now, he was my father's friend, elderly person. He was a friend of my father's. So he had that authority to, you know. So he asked you and find out. So what you gonna do? So I said, no man, you know what? This is my intention. So I'm gonna have a shortfall now. So if I got these two cars, I'll put them both for sale. Sell one, drive one, carry on like that. Now, one, two of my satis used to do this in madrasa when they were studying, and now they got married while they were studying or whatever, and now they needed to make a few rand. So they used to drive a car and put a for sale sign on it. It gets sold, then buy another one and carry on like that. In fact, the two brothers, the alims now, they started like that also in student days. Now they got very big car sales in Johor. I don't take the name. Some of you must be knowing the name too. The Chobuk people will know who I'm talking about. Just now you think I'm promoting them or something. So, Allah gave them barkat, you know. So I went to tell him this. I said, you know what? So he told me, see, you just carry on your imamat and your maktab and everything. Don't get involved in this car game. You see, car game, you'll have so many disputes. You'll just spoil your name. Your whole izzat will go in. Sometimes you sell a car, you think the car is perfect condition, everything. Now you sold it, Musalli saw Morana is selling the car. He said, alright, let me buy it from Morana. Now the Musalli will buy the car, and after 1 week the gearbox packed up. You had no knowledge of it, that the gearbox was going to pack up. Motor car is motor car, that's what happens. Now what he's going to say, Morana had me, man. Morana had me. Now when you give me a Juma Bayan next week, and you're talking about mustn't deceive and all that, he'll be looking at his friend. He mustn't deceive. So, how he deceived me? So these things all, just one family member purchased one vehicle. He bought the vehicle from another person, got logbook, everything. 1 month down the line, police came to fetch the vehicle. He said, I've got logbook here. I bought the car from this person. So you sort your problem out with him, but this car is a stolen car. So these things all happen. Now imagine a governor now, you get involved in all these things. Even if you try to keep it clean, try to keep it as clean as possible, you follow all the laws, everything, but you're bound to end up in some disputes and some problems and some disagreements, etc. Sometimes it becomes a money problem. That's why, you know, when we're conducting business also, be content with how much Allah is giving us. Right? And don't have hirs. Don't have greed. Right? Now what happens today's zamana? I'm selling the thing I don't have. I'm selling what I don't have. And I'm giving credit on what I don't own. I'm selling stock which I don't have by me. Now I'm relying on somebody else to give me that stock when I got a customer. Now I got the customer, I took the money, now I can't get the stock. A lot of tamasha happening like that. Then the other problem is, I got a business, now I went by all the suppliers, I bought, I took on terms. The stock don't belong to me. Right? The stock is in my shop, it's still safe. If that person come, he want his money, say, but I never sell the stock. If you want, you can take the stock back. Right? But now what we do, we get greedy. You say, no, I'll turn, that fellow wants 7 days, that fellow wants 14 days. Now you're selling some stock on credit, what you don't own. You didn't even pay for it. You're selling it to somebody else on credit. Now if that person doesn't pay you, now it's a domino effect now. That man never pay you. Now your supplier is phoning you. Now all of a sudden your phone goes on silent. And I don't know what's happening. I'm not receiving calls. When he meets you in the masjid, I'm trying to get hold. I don't know what's happening, man. Network Albert Falls. Very poor. But now you're ducking and diving. Now because now the goods too you don't have, and that man is not paying you the money too. Now your intention was good, right? But you're taking a chance with somebody else's thing. Yeah, if Allah blessed you, your stock is all freehold, everything, and somebody come and you want to assist them, they want to start up something, and you want to give them a facility, no problem. If the person doesn't pay you, it's your loss, not somebody else's loss. Today the whole stress in business is this, that everybody is riding on somebody else's back. All riding on sunnah. That's why they're so, that we can't make amal on the hadith. That if a person is battling, is owing you, give him time. Don't be hard on him. Give him time. Allow him time. Allah will be lenient on you. You be lenient on him. Allah will be lenient. We can't make amal on it. Why? Because we under pressure now. We owing for it. So we have to put pressure on him. Understand? So be careful, even our ladies. Advise them. A lot of ladies today, they want to do business. And they all doing business on social media, all on pictures, and they just, you know, now they're going to get this thing from there. Now what picture they're showing sometime, what they're supplying sometime, all different. Sometimes they're taking so much orders, now they can't get the stock to give the thing. Then there's tamasha. Ji. When Umar radiallahu an appointed a governor, our time is up already. Okay, stop there. All right, we just read this one paragraph here. So when Umar radiallahu an he appointed a governor, he would write a document for him, and he would make a number of the Ansar sign it as witness. Number of the Sahaba from the Ansar, they must sign this thing as witness. Now what was written there? Number one, he would not ride a non-Arabian horse. Because the Arab horse was commonly available. Now if you want to ride one unique horse, so that you have to get from somewhere else. So he must ride the common horse. What everybody is riding, must ride that horse. He would not eat fine bread. He must eat coarse bread, what the poor people eat. Not fine bread, which in those days was only now for the wealthy. He will not wear fine clothing. And he would never close his door to Muslims in need. And if anybody comes to his door at any time, he will respond. His door is not closed to anybody. Right? And then he would he would then say, after writing all this and make the Ansar sign, he would then say, Allahumma ashhad, that, oh Allah, you be my witness. What instructions I gave this governor. These conditions oblige the governor to adhere to a simple lifestyle of zuhud, ascetic lifestyle, meaning a lifestyle of zuhud, that he mustn't get involved in the dunya, right? And to be humble towards the people. People can come to me at any time. This is the first step in reforming the nation by making them accept a moderate standard of living, clothing, and transportation. With such a lifestyle that was based on moderation, its affairs would be set in order. This was a wise move because Umar radiallahu anhu could not force every member of the nation to do something that is not considered as obligatory in Islam. If somebody wants to wear some fine clothing, all Islam doesn't say it's haram. So he couldn't stop everybody else, but he could force his governors. He could force the governors, the leaders to do that. So if they adhered by it, they would be an example for society. And then society would follow them. So this was a successful plan to reform society and protect it from the causes of decline. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته